Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, I'm sure you know that the church at Corinth had more problems than ordinary. That is, than most churches. All churches have some problems. There is no such thing as a perfect church, and will not be until we get to heaven. No such thing as a perfect pastor, no such thing as a perfect deacon, no such thing as a perfect Sunday school teacher, or no such thing as a perfect church member. It's amazing to me sometimes how people can be so demanding of what others ought to be, demanding almost perfection in church leaders and other church members, but not of themselves. They're quite happy to excuse themselves from that same level of perfection and are quite indignant when others don't measure up to what they think others should measure up to, but not so concerned about themselves not measuring up to what they should. Age-old problem, isn't it? The mote beam problem that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, how it's so much more likely that people will view with great concern the speck in their brother's eye, ignoring all the while the log that is in their own. A humorous way of describing this problem, but a very memorable one. We all remember it pretty clearly, and we need to keep it in mind. And so the church at Corinth had some problems, had a lot of problems, and Paul is dealing with them. And when we come to chapter 3, he makes it clear that one of their problems was that they didn't have a proper understanding of the church. In failing to understand the church as they should, and as God has presented it to them, they therefore had problems in their church relationships. If they don't understand what this is all about, it's not surprising that they're going to have some problems. And so we want to understand the church as Paul gives it to us in this section, and we'll do that as we gather together around the Word of God with our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on this Thursday, June 17, and can do so because of the financial help of some of our radio listeners. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Understand the church. Understand the nature of the church, and Paul begins by describing it as the temple of God. There are some things about the church that are similar to the temple, the Old Testament temple. The New Testament church is God's temple now. The temple, of course, in the Old Testament, was the place where God dwelled in a special way. It's hard to talk about the place where God dwells because, as Solomon pointed out in his prayer of dedication for the temple, God cannot be contained in a building. God cannot be contained in one location. God is omniscient, or not omnipresent. He inhabits the universe. He doesn't dwell in any one place, and yet there is a sense in which God placed his presence in a special way in the temple that Solomon built and dedicated to the worship of God. If people wanted to worship God, they would come to the temple, and they could be assured that God was there in a very special way. He dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple. But now, in the New Testament, where does God dwell in that special way? Well, he dwells, as Paul tells the Corinthians here, in you. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay? So the church is God's temple, but it is a, and here's where it gets a little bit sticky and where a lot of people have difficulty understanding this. The church is a local entity. It is the outgrowth of God's kingdom in your community. Because when Paul is stating these words in 1 Corinthians 3, he is not addressing the church of God as the universal church of God, but he's addressing them as the local church in the city of Corinth. Now, the church is, in addition to a local entity, also a universal body, and the two are very much intertwined, and I talked quite a bit about that on the broadcast yesterday, so I really don't want to go back to it. I hope you heard yesterday's broadcast. But here in this passage, the emphasis is clearly upon the local church. In this particular case, the church at Corinth. You are a temple of God. My Bible says the temple, but actually, there is no definite article. You are a temple of God, and the word you here is plural, not singular. He's not saying, as many Christians believe and understand, that I individually am the temple of God. And Paul does teach that elsewhere. That's not a wrong concept. This statement in chapter 3 does not cancel out the truth that every individual believer is a temple of God. Know you not that your body, your individual body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That is true. I'm not denying that. I don't want to deny that. The Bible teaches that, but that's not what Paul is teaching here. And sometimes by overemphasizing the truth of the individual believer being the temple of the living God and God dwelling in him, we miss what Paul is saying here about the nature of the church. And that's the point. If we don't understand the church aright, we're going to have problems. And so he's talking here about the church, not the individual, and he's talking about the local church, not the universal church. And he's saying, you, plural, you members of the church at Corinth, are a temple, not the temple, but a temple of the living God. He's talking about a particular body of gathered believers, a church, which means an assembly of believers, an assembly of called out ones. And he's still using this analogy that the church is like a building under construction. And so you are the temple of God, and as such, you are God's temple in Corinth, and you are still under construction. But the church is God's temple. The church is a local entity. The church is God's dwelling place. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And again, this word you is plural. In the Old Testament, the glory of God, the Shekinah, was the visible manifestation of God's presence. The Shekinah of God was that pillar of fire by night that led the children of Israel in the wilderness. The Shekinah was the visible manifestation of God that descended upon Solomon's temple when it was dedicated to the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Shekinah, the glory of God, his visible manifestation of his presence, was what indicated where he dwelt in a special way. In the New Testament, it is not the Shekinah. There's no visible glory of God that descends upon an individual or that descends upon a church congregation. But the Holy Spirit is the invisible manifestation of God's presence. And this is a basic doctrine. Do you not know? Is the way he opens this. Do you not know that, and I'm going to have to add a little something to my English translation so that you'll get the force of the plurals here. Do you not know that you all are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you all? Do you not know? There are 10 times in this 1 Corinthian epistle that Paul uses this phrase, do you not know? And every time he is emphasizing something that he has taught them before and that they should know, and they surely do know, but they're not acting like they do. It is a mild rebuke. Don't you know this? This is something that you should know. It's a widely understood doctrine that I have taught to you before, but it is overlooked, it is ignored, it is not understood, it is not valued by some. And so please understand the church, God's temple, in its local form, God's dwelling place. And you need to understand that God dwells in a special way among his people in every local gathering of his people. That's also what Jesus taught, where he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Surely we recognize that Jesus is with every individual believer wherever he is. So this must be a special presence of Christ. It is true. And some people are quick to point this out. It is true that when I'm out at the lake, on the lake fishing, in a boat, maybe all by myself, that God is present with me if I'm a Christian. I am the temple of the living God. God is present there. That does not mean, however, that I can please the Lord by absenting myself from the assembly of the saints and worshiping God on the lake or in the mountains, contemplating the beauty of creation. It's not necessary for me to go to church. I can worship God anywhere. You can worship God anywhere. You ought to worship God anywhere. But you can't worship God in a manner pleasing to him if you are forsaking the assembly of the saints. When the assembly assembles, as it only does at stipulated times, it's not assembled all the time, but when the assembly assembles, you need to be there. And if you're not, and could be, obviously there are times when we are sick and there are times when there are other impediments, but if you could be there, but you have chosen to go to the golf course instead, you have chosen to do something else that is entirely optional and is not an impediment of your attending church, except you've just chosen to do something else instead, you're not pleasing to God in that, and you're not worshiping God aright in that. Because God requires the assembly of the saints, and Jesus promised that he would be present in that assembly in a way that he's not present with individual believers, or that he's not present in a group of believers that haven't assembled for the purpose of worshiping him. It's those who have gathered together in my name, where two or three are gathered in my name, not where two or three are gathered together to play soccer or golf or something else, even if they're all Christians, but that's not it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Understand that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.